Hi guys, so I'm back with another podcast episode. So it's been a little while since I released season 2, episode 1. So this is my episode 2. I actually did plan to do it a couple of days ago. I really wanted to release it on Wednesday, which was the 1 year anniversary of my pop's death. But that day was just fucking mental, to be honest. I was so up in my feels. I can't even explain it. I actually put something on Instagram and I just basically said, because my phone goes off like never before with work. It's crazy. I've actually got 3 phones and they all just are constantly going off. I'm in so many different WhatsApp groups. I'm very grateful for it. Very, very grateful, because with all those messages comes opportunities and networking and obviously money and finances, and helps me develop and grow my business. So I'm extremely grateful for how busy I constantly am. But on the days where life just feels a little bit much, it's kind of like, oh my God, it feels really heavy, and you want to literally throw your phone off a bridge and just disappear into thin air because you just feel like it's never ending. So one thing that I definitely need to work on is just chilling the fuck out at times and not feeling obliged to message people back at all times, especially because all my clients, which I love them all to death, like I would not be doing the things that I'm doing now if it wasn't for the job that I'm doing. But a lot of my clients, they all work on different times. So I've got some that are really bird, so I'm chatting to people from 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning when the kids wake up. And some of them are much later on, bars and restaurants that go till 4 o'clock in the morning. So obviously I'm not up till 4 o'clock in the morning dealing with things, but it's like these constant messages back and forth in all these WhatsApp groups, all different times of the day. So it's like you just never really get to switch off. And I am the kind of person where if I see a message, I like to reply to it straight away. I don't have that chill time. I've said time and time again, I'm going to get a different personal number, which would then allow me to maybe put my phones in a drawer when I go to bed or when I'm wanting my chill time. But I can't do it. I physically can't do it. And then I fall into all these memes that say, you know, if you want to be successful, you work while you should be sleeping, or work while you should be chilling, work while you should be watching TV. And that is me, to be fair. Anyone that is in my presence will know that I'm constantly on the phone, I'm constantly chatting back and forth about some kind of business somewhere and trying to make things happen. The amount of times when I'll arrange to meet up with people, like tonight, for example, I'm supposed to be at Katie's birthday and I've had to bail out of that. Yeah, I feel really bad, but obviously the kids are my priority because they've been at their dad's for the past week. He went away on holiday, so when he came back, he wanted to spend the school holidays with them, which is really nice. I've done lots of fun things. I miss them like hell. I've got them back today, and all we've done, well, actually, we went to Home Bargains to buy loads of Halloween decorations and just get sorted for the Halloween weekend, really. I think tomorrow we're going to go see School of Rock at Bradford Alhambra. And yeah, like, I just feel like I need a weekend of just children chilling and just spending loads of time at home, which I'm really looking forward to, because yeah, life's just been a little bit fucking mental, to be honest. So this week marks the 1 year anniversary of my pops's passing, which was really bad. So me and, why do I keep saying so? I need to remember to do that. So me and, oh fucking hell, here we go. Me and Stephen went to London. We had the best time ever. We went to the new Salt Bay restaurant. The food was absolutely amazing. The amount of messages that we got saying how much was the bill, but it was a lot, but it was such an amazing experience. The food was 10/10, atmosphere 10/10, service 10/10. It was just great. And it was just a nice little getaway. Obviously I had my fucking laptop with me and my phones, but it was still nice just to get away, spend some time away from everyone and just have a little chill time. Obviously went to bed, woke up, it was the anniversary of my pops's passing, and I cannot explain how I felt from the second I woke up until late afternoon. Just the biggest anxious wreck ever. Now, I used to suffer really bad with anxiety, and it was so strange because the amount of times I went to the doctors, and to me, my anxiety doesn't present as anxiety, but my doctor said to me, no, what you're describing is you've got anxiety. And people will say, well, what are you anxious about? And I'm like, nothing. There's not one thing that I can you know, put my finger on and say, this is the reason why I am anxious. This is the reason why I'm feeling like I'm feeling. When I first realized that I had anxiety, to be honest, that's a lie, because I did have a really bad panic attack, and that was when it came all over. So I was like, what the fuck? Obviously, I thought I was going to die. And then obviously I realized after that, okay, you know, something's not quite right. So I normally suffer on and off with anxiety. So for a month I'll have it, and then I won't have it at all for a few months, and then I'll have it for a month, and then not again for a few months. Now, I don't know what's changed in my lifestyle pattern, but I have not suffered with anxiety for a very, very, very long time. I can't even tell you the last time that I felt anxious, but my anxiety presents in a way of me feeling like I can't breathe. Feels like somebody's literally sat on my chest. And when it gets really, really bad, I have horrendous pins and needles in both hands and my hands go freezing cold. I remember actually taking myself to A&E one time because the panic attack was that bad. I wonder if this has happened to anyone else. If it has, please message me so we can chat about it, because it's crazy. My fingers seized up so tight like a claw. If you'd have said to me, here's £1 million, grab it and you can have it, I wouldn't have been able to open my hands to get it. They're seized up like mad. I can't even explain it. I just could not move my fingers. I had like these horrendous pins and needles everywhere. I couldn't breathe. And then all of a sudden, when I come down from it, I was so drained and exhausted. I felt like I could have slept for a week. That was the worst panic attack I've ever had. And I swore to myself, after that day, I'm not going to have another panic attack again. And hand on heart, I never have. And I found coping mechanisms of making myself feel, I kind of been able to get back in control of my thoughts and my feelings. So on Wednesday, do you know what? A year anniversary of death is such a strange feeling, because in my head, I thought to myself, well, obviously it's a year. It's sad because it's gone so quickly, and it's kind of like, wow, it's a whole year without someone that you love in your life. But I thought, it's just another day and I can cope and I can deal with my grief, and I've got ways around dealing with it every other day. So this day is going to be no different. How fucking wrong could I be? And anybody else that celebrated a year of someone's death, celebrated, fucking hell, that's not the right word to use it. Anyone that's, well, is it? I don't know, really. I don't know if it is a celebration of their life, because that's what I was hoping that I would feel. I was hoping that we would celebrate his life together, it would bring us all together, and it would be an occasion for us all to spend some family time and discuss great memories. Wrong, 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 wrong. Oh, so I booked a meal for us all at one of my clients' bars. Really quiet, cozy, Wednesday night, just so we can have a few pizzas, a glass of wine, all of us get together and spend time with each other. So I wake up in London, I'm an anxious fucking mess, like couldn't breathe. Steve kept looking at me like, are you okay? And I was just like, I don't know what's wrong, Steve. Like, I just feel so overwhelmed and anxious. And you know, like when you're not in the comfort of your own home, had I have woken up at home that day, this is probably both a blessing and a curse. Had I have woken up at home that day, I think I would have just got up and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried, which is what I probably felt like I needed to do. Because I was in London, I couldn't do that. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be walking around the streets of London crying my eyes out. So I was just trying to get it together. But when you're feeling so bad inside, it's really hard just to fucking try and get it together. Do you know what I mean? Like when someone says, oh, it's not that bad. I can't explain it. Steve was like, come on, we're going Harrods. We're going to go get some sushi. I was sat there and tears were just pouring down my face. And, you know, like I kind of looked at Steve as if to say, like, don't show me any attention. Because, you know, as soon as somebody puts their arm around you when you're upset, that's it. It all just fucking comes pouring out. The floodgates are down and that's it. So it's kind of just trying to say to him, please don't draw attention to the fact that I'm not holding it together right now. And I started getting the pins and needles and I just looked him dead in the eye and I said, do you know what to do if I have a panic attack? And I was like, no, I need to stop talking myself into the fact that I'm going to, because then I definitely am. I need to remember, you're going to be all right. You are in control. My phone was going crazy of great messages, because everyone's messaging, you know, all my family put things on social media and stuff like that. And I had so many messages from people saying, I hope you're okay. I'm thinking about you. The first year is so hard. And I couldn't understand, like, fuck, why is the first year so hard? I'm guessing every year is hard, but I never expected it to be as difficult as what it was. And then I read a message in the family group chat from one of my sisters saying, I am literally not going to be able to make the meals tonight because I feel that upset that I'm physically being sick. Like, I just cannot stop being sick. And I just thought, God, like, everyone is feeling the massive effects of this today. It's truly horrible. And obviously, I've mentioned before that both my sisters have birthdays, one the day before his death and one the day before that. So it's kind of such a strange... Those few days are so fucked up, to be honest. Like, it's a really strange feeling for all of us. It's like we want to be happy for the girls and special and we're celebrating these birthdays. And then it just goes from, like, dead happy to so morbid in the space of one day. It just shows that we're still all trying our hardest to process this grief, and we're definitely not anywhere near through the other side of grief yet. So I booked a train back from London. I came back by myself, which was actually okay because I was a little bit scared, thinking, shit, I'm going to have to get on the train by myself and I'm feeling this way. But once I realised that I was going back to see my family and stuff, I felt better. I wanted to be in their presence. And I actually thought, I'm going to walk through the door and I'm just going to burst into tears when I see them. But I didn't. I sat on the train. I worked for a couple of hours. I made those hours productive. Got off the train, walked down to the bar, saw them all. And I just felt, I felt okay. I thought, oh, like, we're all here together. They're all holding it together. I'm going to be fine. And obviously, like I've said before, I don't really want to discuss much about my private life in the sense of obviously that I've met someone, kind of, and obviously we're just spending a bit of time together and seeing how it's going. But I was so grateful for that person that day, because when I was sat in Harrods and I looked at my phone and I thought, fucking hell, I literally had about 100 WhatsApp messages, different groups to do with work, obviously people showering me with lovely messages about my dad and everything else. And I just, like, messaged him and I said, obviously it's hard because when you first start chatting to someone and stuff, you don't want to put your shit onto them because it's all in the nicey-nice stage. So you don't really want to say, oh, hi, I feel shit today, or I feel like this, or I feel like that. But me and him have got, like, a really good friendship anyway. Like, I feel like we are very, very good friends. And I just, like, messaged him and I just said, fuck, like, I feel so anxious. I feel like I'm going to have a panic attack and I can't fucking breathe. And he was just, like, really reassuring, calming me down and stuff. So as soon as I got to the bar, he actually came to meet me, and he just, like, put his arm around me and just said, are you okay and stuff? And I just felt instantly better from that moment. I felt better, and it was kind of like I'd almost forgotten how I'd been feeling the whole day and how much I'd suffered. So I thought, you know what, that told me a lot about how I feel towards him as a person, because I don't know, like, I can be a real stubborn bitch at times. I can be quite hard-faced and build a barrier up and feel like I don't want to be loved and I don't want to love because I'm scared of being hurt. And when I actually met him, we had a conversation. It was funny. Like, looking back now, I think, fuck's sake, Soph. But I went on a night out and something happened, which I'm not really going to go into, but it made me just feel really upset and a bit uneasy. And I'd not spoken to him for a couple of days, and I'd said to his friend, you know what, I don't want to speak to him no more because I actually like him a little bit and I'm not used to just feeling like this straight away kind of thing. So I'm trying to, like, build my barrier and stay the fuck away from him for a little bit because I just don't want to get hurt and I feel like he's not feeling the same as what I'm feeling. And then after that night out, and I felt really shit the next day, and I started crying to him. I was sending voice notes and I started crying. Looking back, it's actually mental. But I started crying and the voice notes, like, saying, oh, I just don't want to like you because I'm scared of being hurt. And he was just like, well, you should have spoken to me about this directly. Like, don't go speaking to other people about it. Please come to me. And I was like, do you know what? You're right. And I feel like because I've got a lot of trust issues and stuff like that, obviously, I don't feel like everyone's out to get me at all, but I feel, I don't know, like, how do I even explain it? I don't want to ever feel any kind of element of humiliation and embarrassment like I felt in the past. Like, I'm quite a pride person, to be honest, and I feel like if anyone was to go out there and humiliate me while I was 100% fully committed to someone, I'd be really upset. I'd rather someone just turn around that day and say, listen, hon, it's not working out for me. I'm not on it. I'm not feeling it. Hasta la vista. It'd hurt, but I'd take it. And I think, well, do you know what? At least I'd rather have that than obviously what I've been through in the past. So for me to even consider liking somebody else, it's such, it's like a really big thing, to be honest. So yeah, I seen him, he came to the bar, put his arm around me, and I just, forgot about everything, and he came and sat down, and we all had a laugh and a joke, and then I went and stayed over with him, and I just, he was just really nice of how safe I felt, how my worries kind of just disappeared, and I just thought, do you know what, even if it didn't work out with him, I definitely know, as a 29-year-old woman that's about to be divorced with 3 kids, I've been separated 2 years almost, I am ready to start thinking about sharing my life with someone again, 100%. And I think I just got so put off it. At the beginning of the year, I was chatting to someone and spending some time with this person, but it wasn't right, and I knew from the get-go it wasn't right, and we was friends for quite a few weeks. I friend-zoned him straight away and was friends for quite a few weeks, and it was then I kind of, not talked myself into liking him, but I don't know how it happened. It was all just a bit of a whirlwind, and there was always things where I just knew that was never going to work out, but I kind of felt a bit lonely as well, and maybe, I don't know, it just turned into something, got a bit out of control, and then I had to take a step back and think, this is not what I want, and I wasn't ready at that time to be with anyone. So I obviously cut it off and then just spent my summer being single and living life and just enjoying time with the kids by myself, being out of lockdown, building my business and my brand, working loads, networking, meeting new people. And I honestly feel like now it's got to this stage where I'm actually I'm not looking around at what else is out there or what else can I do or who else can I meet or any of this kind of stuff. I've been on the dating apps. I've chatted to bare people, a lot of people, not going to lie. I've had quite a lot of messages on Instagram and things like that. And now I just feel like I'm over all of that. I'm over all of that shit. And if you're still in it, huns, fucking go for it and enjoy it, because being single is actually great. If you allow yourself to enjoy being single, it's amazing. It's so good. You learn a lot about yourself. I feel like I'm a completely different person now to what I was 2 years ago. I'm happy in my own company now. I'll sit at home with a wine, watch a film, and not feel like I have to try and go to a friend's house, or I have to go out, or I have to do this. I feel like my life's so busy with socializing due to work, and everyone's always got a birthday thing or this or that. So I actually love the weekends where I don't really have plans. Tomorrow, for example, my friends are coming over, put the kids in bed, we'll play a few little drinking games, get a takeaway. I love those kind of nights. I absolutely just love those kind of nights. Yeah, it's just really nice to just enjoy the comfort of my own home. Tonight I've been sat working, so I spent some time with the kids, put them to bed, just sat working, now I'm doing my podcast, and I'm just trying to organise my life so that this weekend me and the kids can have a great time, my friends can come round, my friends are great and my kids as well, so we'll all have a great time. And yeah, that's that. And my last podcast was all positivity and this and that, and this one's a bit, it's kind of positive in the sense of how I'm feeling in terms of that area of my life. But also, with the anxiety and stuff like that, I just can't even explain how bad I felt on Wednesday. It was a truly hard day to get through. Even now when I'm chatting about anxiety, I can feel myself breathing funny because you put it in your own head. It's crazy. So that's why I don't really like breathing life into it, but I did want to address it because I did put a thing on Instagram just saying can you just be patient with me today, I will reply to all my work messages tomorrow, and I'm just feeling extremely anxious and overwhelmed because I just A, didn't want people to think I'm feeling rude, and B, the amount of people that say to me, you're so positive all the time, it's do you know what, a lot of the time I am positive, and I'm the absolute queen of turning a negative into a positive. But I also have my days where I feel like I can't cope either, where I'm just so overwhelmed and anxious and life just feels a lot and the simplest of tasks just feels like it takes me forever. We all have times like that. We all have times like that. I'm only human and I can't be Superwoman every goddamn day. A whole year without my pop. So fucking hell. Do you know what? When I wrote a little post about it, if you love seeing on my Instagram, if you don't follow me on Instagram, I'm at Sophie Watkins 7. But I did write a little post about it and just kind of said, what did I even say on it? I just said that, you know, I hope you could see what I've achieved over the past year and be proud of me, because actually, if I wrote a timeline of the past 12 months, I would be so proud of myself and the things that I've achieved. Last year, my dad had just died. I'd just come out of hospital. I'd had to change my life in a sense of being used to being deaf in one ear. And just my eyesight was so funny at that point. And my life had just done a 360. I'd gone from living my best goddamn life to everything just came fucking crashing down, all in the space of a couple of weeks. So I was dealing with that and then went and started a new job. So I went for the interview 2 days after he died and I wasn't going to go. And I thought, do you know what? He'd kill me if I didn't go. He knew that I was going for it. And I thought, he will fucking kill me if I don't go there. He will actually come down and haunt me. So I went, smashed it, got the job, and I started on the Monday. I didn't even say, hey, can I have a week off or can I wait until I bury my dad? I didn't even do that. I just went and did it. And then I just sheepishly said, excuse me, can I have a day off? I know it's only kind of taking the piss because I've just started, but, you know, like, my dad's just died. And I think they was a bit like, wow, like, how are you even here? But I just did it. I scraped myself together and I did it. And then we went into another lockdown, which was horrible. My trolling went from 0 to 1,000, a motherfucking 1,000 real quick. I had to deal with all that shit. Obviously, still going through the absolute worst of a separation. Life was nuts. And where I am today, I'm happy. I'm healthier than what I was. I mean, I'm still can't hear. I still can't hear. But I'm healthier than what I was. I've got an MRI scan coming up next week, which I'm really looking forward to, strangely. But I'm actually really looking forward to the MRI scan. Hopefully, that will give me more of a clear indication of if anything can be done for my health or if that's it. I am who I am now. Obviously, Isaiah starts nursery next week. He's never been to nursery, never been in a nursery setting before. He's 3. I'm so looking forward to him going to nursery. He deserves it so much and I'm so excited for him. It's been amazing to kind of not have a schedule which I have to stick to with him, because when the boys are at school and things like that, both me and Callum just kind of pinch him for the day and we go off and do things. And it's been really nice just to kind of have him to ourselves in our family home setting. Now he's entering the big wide world of nursery. My little baby! The baby of the family is going to nursery. It's happy and sad. I feel like I'm going to cry when I wave him off. My heart is going to hurt. I don't even know if he'll go in, to be honest, because he's a little shitbag. Like, he loves me. He loves his dad. He loves the childminder. He loves everyone around him that he knows, but he's kind of a little bit funny with people that he doesn't know. So hopefully Isaiah will have a great first day at nursery. That'll make me happy if he does. I can imagine them saying that he, I don't know, has snatched a toy or done something corrupt. I hope not. But he is the feral one. And anybody else that's got 3, I'm sure your baby is feral as well, because it's every man for himself. It is every man for themselves in this household. And he is probably the toughest out of all of them, to be honest. So there's so many exciting things happening. We're worlds apart from what we was last year. As bad as it feels, as anxious as I was, like, it hurt my heart about my sister not even being able to get out of bed and just throwing up and all these things. We're planning like a charity ball. My brother's doing, I think my brother and my sister are doing London Marathon. We're just trying. I mean, even the fact that we raised 10 grand in lockdown for brain tumour charity, like, that's fucking pretty impressive if you ask me. Like, it was such a great feeling hitting £10,000 for charity. Like, I'm really proud. I forgot, you know, you forget about the things that have happened over the past year, but there's been so many achievements, which I just know that he would have been so proud of. And honestly, so in the past year, we've all had to deal with this. My mum has just supported us all like the absolute queen of the castle that she is. No matter what we've decided to do or what's happened, she's always been there as the rock for all of us. Eleanor has continued with her degree and is fucking bossing it. My little sister's just started university. My other little sister's just started her dream job. She's doing an apprenticeship to be a tattooist, which is just has always been a dream. My brother has become a director of his recruitment company that he worked for. And I've started my own business. So to say that all of us have suffered grief the past year and suffered so much fucking shit, we have all achieved so much in a year. And it just makes me look back to and think, do you know what? It's not the hand of cards that you dealt, it's how you play them. It was really shit what we all had to see, what we've all endured, and how we lost him. But it's also equally amazing of how we've all carried on with our life and made him proud and not kind of said, oh, well, yeah, I'm doing this because of this. It's like, no, we've got up and it has been hard and horrendously heartbreaking. And as much as I probably thought I was through grief, through the other side of grief, a lot more than what I actually am, obviously Wednesday proved to me that that isn't the case and I do need to be a bit more patient with myself. We all grieve in different ways. We all grieve at different times. It takes us, some of us, longer than others. And yeah, like, it's really hard to, if anybody that's listening to this is going through something similar, like, I really feel for you, like, empathy times a million, because it truly is a heartbreaking time. And my best advice is just to keep the people close to you. I remember putting at the end of that caption, like, if you're around somebody in someone's presence that you love, if you feel it, please tell them. Please just say, I love you, because tomorrow isn't promised for anyone. And that's what the whole situation with my pops made me realise, that how can someone be so fit and healthy, living life, doing everything that they've ever dreamed of, and then 10 months later be dead? How can that happen? I don't understand it. Like, it's crazy. And some people don't even get as long as 10 months. I actually watched the programme, and if you've not seen it, the In My Head programme by Tom Parker, what an amazing watch. I didn't think I'd be able to watch it, to be honest, but I did, and it was actually, it did make me sad. I did shed a few tears, I'm not going to lie. But I felt like it was such a positive for the type of cancer, because it only receives less than 1% of cancer research funding. And unfortunately, it takes people that are kind of in the public eye to suffer with it directly, or for someone that they love to suffer with it, for people to bring attention to it. And obviously, me, for example, I would have never have raised £10,000 for brain tumour charity if my pops hadn't have died of a brain tumour. Like, I would have never have thought to do that. So now I do feel like I want to try and be actively more involved in charities and things like that, just so that I can show my support. I'm a massive, massive, massive giver on Just Giving as well. Like, every month I will find a page and just donate, even if it's a fiver, a tenner, anything. I'll always share them across my page when people ask me to do it. But I just feel like a little bit for a family goes a very, very long way. So I'm going to start thinking about wrapping this podcast up, because the last one, fucking hell, I look back, it was like 40 minutes long. I thought, Jesus, Sophie, what have I been chatting about for 40 minutes? It's wild. Guys, I got back in the podcast charts. Like, seriously, what the fuck? Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'd dropped a podcast after months off with zero consistency, did not keep my fan base, as you would say, and I just got straight back into the charts. Like, that is so mind-blowing for me. Like, I just, thank you. And obviously, I always get kicked out the fucking charts, because we all know that I'll say, I'm going to release a podcast on this day, and then it never actually happens. So I'm out of the charts again. So can we get your gal back in the charts? Every time you share, like, download, leave a review, put it on your stories, like, I just appreciate that so much, because that all adds towards my rating. So you can listen to me on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast. I'm across every single podcast platform. You can also listen to me on Alexa. I'm going to have to whisper that, because she's on now with some music in the background. I don't need to pipe it up. But yeah, you can say, Alexa, play Sophie Watkins. Oh, fucking hell, she's heard me. Play Sophie Watkins Talks, and she will. Oh, 1 second. Yeah, so basically, I can't say that, because she can hear me a mile off, it seems. But yeah, so I'm across all different podcast platforms. Please like, share, download. Let me know what you want to hear. Do you know, last time I put a little question box up and people was wanting to know about my beauty regime, but I feel like an absolute fraud to talking about that, because I wipe my face with Aldi Baby Mammy a wet wipe. And to be honest, I've just bought some more of the Bobbi Brown face base, which I do really like. And I bought the eye cream as well, because my skin is the most dehydrated skin you will ever see in my life. Like, when I go for a facial, whoever's doing it will say, wow, like, they cannot believe how fast the product is just, like, sinking into my skin. That's how dry it is. Like a dry, wrinkly mulberry handbag. So I am trying my best not to be out in the sun as much, which is making me really upset because I'm used to being very brown. And I am actually trying a little bit with my Bobbi Brown cream. Apart from that, I am the shittest person ever for a beauty regime because I have zero consistency at all. I don't really wear makeup day to day unless I've got like an event or I'm doing something. Like, I had my makeup done for a shoot. I was on a shoot yesterday for Vienna Rose Bridal, and I had Laura Sherwood do my makeup, who is amazing, and James Wilson Hair do my hair, who I just adore. And to be fair, Laura's done, when I do normally do a shoot, I normally will collab with Laura, and she did my makeup and she was like, fucking hell, I prepped your skin, I'm gonna have to prep it again because my skin just soaked in everything that fast. And as much as I loved feeling too glam to give a damn for a day, I also just love more than anything coming home, hair on top of the head, scrubbing it all off, and just getting in my jammers. Like, I am not the Insta beauty girl, definitely not. So I can't do anything beauty related because that would just be fraud in its finest self. I am currently working on a business guide, which is very exciting. Probably going to take me a whole year at this point. But I'm doing a downloadable business guide just on everything, how I've succeeded, how I've failed many, many, many fucking times, how I've dealt with negative comments towards me as a person, towards what I'm doing, how I've overcome obstacles, and my best tips and tricks of starting your own business. So I just wanted to share all this with you because I wish I'd have had something like this, which is simplified. You know, like, you can buy business books and you can read this and that, but it all seems so complicated and overwhelming. So this is going to be like my bite-sized guide to life and business. And I want to do a few different versions, but as I say, you know, between doing my podcast again, running a full-time business, raising three children, it is, and trying to obtain some kind of dating life, you know, it is difficult. So I'm just kind of doing it all in my spare time at this minute, and hopefully it will come together. I've got my graphics girl page who's going to be working on assembling the guide for me, and I'm just so excited to share it with you because it's just kind of the raw truth of starting your own business. Like, I've never claimed to have made shitloads of money, but I feel equally I do okay for myself and I give my kids a nice life. And just to kind of, my absolute boast, my boast is I can work from anywhere I want to work from. So I never have a set routine and because my life's such a roller coaster. But the amazing thing for me is I can just pick up my laptop one day. I can go work from David Lloyd. I can take Izzy and go to a soft play center. I can go sit in Starbucks. I could go sit and have Nicole's with a wine if I wanted to. I can take my laptop and I can work from anywhere. And I feel like when you've got the freedom to do that, you're truly winning in life because you're not bound to be sat and your ass sat on somebody else's chair making them a living. Spent many years of my life working for other people, many, many years. I'm probably nearly getting sacked, to be honest, I'm not gonna lie. And it just feels so good to be able to work for myself now, and I'd love to try and empower other people and share my tips and tricks I've been able to do so, because this is one business, what I'm doing now, my marketing company, that I never, ever planned on doing. It's not like I woke up one day and said, do you know what? I'm going to set up a marketing agency. It's just not what I did at all. I actually worked for somebody else in a role that I'd never done before, realised, shit, I'm actually quite good at this. And just one day thought, fuck it, I'm going to work for myself. Steve said to me, well, you can have me as a client. So I was like, sound. And I still kept my client that I was working for. And then it was just like a little bit of a roller coaster where people were like, well, you can do mine if you want, or you can do mine, or you can do mine, or you can do mine. And it all just spiraled out of control. And I'm truly, truly grateful for that. And now I have three iPhones, my Apple laptop, and I can just stick it in my bag and go wherever the fuck I want to go. Like, when I went to Dubai, I booked that so last minute, just took everything with me and just dedicated a few hours a day to work, whether that was before bedtime, when we woke up, And yeah, I just feel so grateful to be able to do that. It does have its downfalls though as well, because if you are working for somebody else, I guess when you're in that office, that's the only time that you think about work. And then when you leave, that's it. Work's done for the day. Do you know what I mean? Work's done for the weekend. Or if you're on a 2-week holiday, work's done. You don't even think about it until you go back. Whereas for me, I can't ever imagine getting to that stage where I'm never thinking about work. Like, I think about work from the second I wake up to the second I go to bed. I've always got a million things to do, but I don't care because I can do them from anywhere that I want. And that's kind of cool. But I guess the end goal is to create a marketing empire along with a few different empires and be sat on a yacht somewhere with my kids drinking champagne. So yes, let's wrap this shit up. So I've spoken about, obviously, a bit about my dating life in terms of it's nice that someone can make me feel good about myself again. I've also spoken about my pop. I've actually not cried. Fucking hell, it's a miracle I've not cried. You know, I've spoken a lot about, oh, do you know what? I can hear my child shouting me upstairs. It's fucking 10 o'clock at night. Just going to wait 5 minutes and hope to God that he goes back to sleep. But yeah, I've spoken a lot about, you know, like anxiety and things like that. And just in a sense of being able to say to people, if you do suffer or if you do look, this is what I said one time. Why do I always go off onto like something different? But this is what I said one time. How annoying is it when you look on social media and everything's about positive manifesting, being so positive, this, that, and you just feel like shit and you're entitled to a day where you just feel like shit and you actually don't want to be positive? That was me on Wednesday. There was not really anything that anyone was saying to me that was going to get me out of how I was feeling on Wednesday. I was feeling how I was feeling. It was nice to spend time with people that make me feel really good about myself. Like even just in London, having Steve there, I felt so anxious. But because he was there, I felt safe. And I felt, do you know what? If I were to have a panic attack or if anything was to happen, he was there and he's got my back. Same as obviously when I came to my bar with Boothing and my family. Like I felt safe. I felt happy. I felt loved. I felt lucky. I felt grateful. Gratitude every single day of my life. I feel grateful for, I practice gratitude. I'm a massive believer on being grateful. I feel like if you're not grateful for what you've already got, you're not going to get what you want. It's as simple as that. If you hate everything that you've got, you're not going to upgrade. You've got to be grateful for what you've already got. Like even I look around my house now and my next big massive life goal is to get my buy a house and renovate it all and have it exactly how I want it. Like I'm still living in a rented house. My house sale is literally should be complete in the next 2 weeks. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And thank you, Bradley's Real Estate in Pontefract. You are a legend. But like that's my next massive, massive thing. So the day you see me on Insta holding a sold sign, wow, like it's not going to come for a few years. But when it comes, I'm sure it's going to be worth it. And I just can't wait to get a hammer out and just knock walls down and shit and just have, I don't know why, but I think maybe it's because I do marketing for a big flooring firm. The floor, I can't, like, I hate the floor in my house right now. I hate the colour of the tiles. There's so much I fucking hate about this house, but I have to be grateful for it. It's in the best area. It's near my kids' school. It's night. The rooms are a big size. I love my living room. I love the furniture. I love where it is. You know, I've got to be grateful for that. But there is certain things where I think, fuck, I can't wait to have my own version. Like I can't wait to showcase my personality through my home, which I'm not able to do. So yeah, that's my next massive big thing that I really want to achieve for me and the kids in life, is to own a nice big motherfucking house designed by myself. And yeah, like let's go, baby. I've got a long way to go yet, but still grinding, still working for it. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening to me chat shit once again for another week. There will be another podcast. I'm not going to say when because we all know what I'm like. And I hope you all have the best Halloween weekend ever with your kids or no kids, whatever you decide to do. Please like, please share, please subscribe, please download. And please follow me on Instagram if you've not already got me, @SophieWatkins7. I really appreciate your support. Thank you, guys.